Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. This is Johnny Tan, your host for this morning talk radio show from My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. And we will be spending the next hour talking to everyone that will call in. I'm just kidding. Yes, we'll be talking to everyone that's going to be calling in. The number to call is 347-327-9995. This hour-long show is dedicated to honoring moms everywhere and for their spiritual and inspirational contribution in making a positive difference in our life. I noticed that my assistant Emily is on the air with us. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. I have a little glitch this morning with my switchboard. Sort of like, oh no! I mean, please don't do this to me. But other than that, I think I'm okay. And I know it's a chilly morning, and but it's wonderful to be broadcasting from Dallas, Texas. And
yeah, it's supposed to warm up.
Yeah, I'm hoping it will quickly here. But it's not that bad for being in the spring. I kind of like it this way, you know. So the good news is, like you say, it's warming up. But I do like this little chilly weather. But it's been wonderful having a wonderful mild winter for us here in Dallas. Coming back to the show this morning. Please call 347-327-9995 if you would like to join us on the air and share your own experiences of motherly love. For those of you who like to chat live, please type in. Emily is managing our chat room this morning, and we'll be more than happy to take care of your questions that you have for us. And also, if I'm not able to get to your questions via the chat room, I would certainly be addressing it in the next show. Wonderful thing happened to me this weekend. I was a guest of another talk show, Mama's Time Out, out of Phoenix, Arizona. It was a great show. It's a show that allows moms everywhere to call in and to take a little time out and to hear everyone supporting one another about being a mom, I guess. So that's quite interesting. I know, Emily, you're not quite there yet, but you might want to take that the website down because it's quite interesting. I had an hour-long conversation with the host of the show, Patty. And another thing that happened, what I say was interesting, is that I learned something new this weekend. I did not realize that 90% of the state of Arizona is on Mountain Standard Time. I never paid attention to the MST versus the MDT during this time of the year. Apparently, the MST stands for Mountain Standard Time, which means that it did not change with the daylight saving times like we all do.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So here I'm rushing to the office to talk to Patty. Our time would be the show aired at 2:30 in the afternoon, and so I got to the office at 3:30. I said, "Oh, okay, ready. I'm ready to be all on the air right here," and so forth. So when I called in, come to find out, your show is not due till 1 hour and 4 minutes or whatever that is. And I said, "No, it can't be. I'm going crazy here. I don't think this is right." So when I Google the time zone for United States, come to find out that 90% of the state of Arizona is kind of weird. The top right-hand corner of the state is on the Mountain Daylight Savings Time, and the rest are all Mountain Standard Time. So they were on actually Pacific Time. So interestingly enough, I just spent an hour of doing some paperwork and getting caught up with things that I need to get done anyway, so which I'm glad I ended up doing that. So, but I had a wonderful conversation with her. She's actively involved in trying to promote my book for me and my show, and I had a wonderful conversation with her. That was really good, and of course, not to mention I learned something new about this whole thing about time zone and stuff like that. Let's see here. I would like to mention something very interesting here. Well, being that it is Mother's Day that's coming up roughly in about 5 weeks right here, so I want to do a special announcement and suggestion for a great Mother's Day gift. Ta-da! It is my book, From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. It's available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. It's a wonderful keepsake book. It has a dedication page for you to personalize it. It also has a blank page for you to write the various recipes for living you wish to record for all times. And for those who love to cook, I have also included 9 food recipes from my 9 various moms as icing on the cake. So it's a wonderful keepsake book. I think whoever gets this book, whether it's your wife, your mom, or whoever, your grandmother, I think they will really enjoy reading this book. And got a lot of feedback from a lot of people that have read the book. And it's a 3-hour-long book. It's 148 pages long. And it's available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. So that's my quick, what they call it, a 2-minute spiel about my infomercial about my book. So anyway, coming back to the show, this morning I have joining us this morning is my Texan earthly mom, Therese Rose. I met Therese Rose in 1986 when I was actively trying to recruit managers for my company at that time that I was working for in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Therese, over the years, we had kept in touch, and from our professional friendship, it evolved to a personal one. And as I recruited her, inevitably I recruited her to be a member of my team of counsel. Her pragmatic approach about life and living has helped me a great deal in deciphering the various mysteries and challenges of everyday living. When you hear Therese talk about handling life in general, it's very interesting. Her professionalism, the fact that she's been in business for such a long time, and even at 76 years old, she is currently managing her employment agency. And so that's quite interesting that she's still always helping people to do the best they can. And she has certainly helped me over the years in helping me to decipher the various mysteries and challenges of everyday living. And I owe a great deal to her in terms of, you know, right timing, right time, right people to talk to. It's very, very interesting. I have attributed five recipes to her out of the 30 recipes that I wrote in the book, Recipes for Living. And I am so thankful that she is going to be joining us here shortly from her home. And she will be talking to us about the topic on how to prepare for our future successes. And I see that she just came online. And I'd like to welcome my Texan earthly mom, Therese Rose, on the air to join us. Hello, Therese. How are you?
I'm fine, Johnny. How are you this morning?
Doing great, doing great. I had just introduced you to our audience, and of course I labeled you as my Texan earthly mom. And what I'd like to do is to give you an opportunity to explain to everyone how that name came about.
Well, it came about because of my philosophy of life, which is a strong spiritual belief that one of the things that we are here to do is to care for the earth along
mm-hmm.
with caring for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in our own life experience, as we go through life, we grow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my main philosophy is that the past part of our life is history.
Right.
And we must learn from it. And we live for today because what we have experienced creates the successful person that we are tomorrow.
That's true. That's very true. And, you know, that relates back to the, I had told the our listeners that out of the 30 recipes that I've written down in my book, 5 of them are attributed to you. And, of course, the topic that we're going to be talking about today is planning for our future successes. And I know personally for myself, since knowing you for over 20 years now, in all actuality, because we met in 1986, through you know, having a professional relationship with you and engaging you in the recruitment of managers that I needed at that time. And somewhere along the line, like I mentioned to everyone here, that I ended up recruiting you to be a member of my team of counsel, so to speak. And so that's been a wonderful experience for me in having you to help me to be very pragmatic about life and looking at things as the way it is, and also being able to to look at experiences in the past as a classroom for lessons learned. One of the things that that I like to mention about is that in preparing for future successes is something that you mentioned in recipe number 6, which is being present in the present moment, where you reminded me one thing for sure today is that that we have today, and what we do today will determine how we remember tomorrow. Perhaps you can kind of explain that a little bit more to us on the air.
Well, what that means is, I guess I can relate it to you like raising children.
Mm-hmm.
When you have children, the main goal of parents is to teach them to stand on their own two feet and become independent. But at the same time, you always have to let them know every day that they always have a home to come back to,
mm-hmm.
if they need to come back home. And so our life is much the same, that we prepare ourselves. And especially in today's economy, when so many people are being laid off,
mm-hmm.
they need to remember that the life skills that they've accumulated,
mm-hmm.
are valuable. And so they need to value themselves and view finding another job as their job at the moment. You know, don't sit defeated. Get up in the morning and make a list of your own skills and feel good about yourself and say, well, I had that job. I grew. I learned. And
mm-hmm.
I remember
mm-hmm.
when you were a young man and you got promoted.
Right,
and
right.
One of the things you asked me was, what do I need to know?
Right.
And I said, you need to know that you live for today and you do what you can today.
Mm-hmm.
But you always remember to help others along the way. And
right.
I think that sometimes our ego gets in the way of our personal growth.
No, it's definitely.
and we all have skills.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has other skills besides their job skills. So it's not a good idea to define yourself by what you do for your 8 hours at work. It's
right.
good to define yourself all the social skills you have. You know, are you a member of a church? Do you work on any committees? Do you
mm-hmm.
help with the Little League? I mean,
mm-hmm.
what do you do outside of work that can equate to a skill that you can use in today's job market?
Right.
It's
very true what you said. Mm-hmm.
I can give you, for instance, of a man and a woman who were both laid off recently
mm-hmm.
and came to me, and, you know, I'm a professional recruiter and have been
mm-hmm.
for 35 years, and
mm-hmm.
asked me, what can we relate our skills to? And in talking to them, I find that they had extensive background of volunteer work and working with children.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do you want to go back to what you were doing? Or you indicated to me that you're tired of being an accountant and a legal secretary,
right.
which is what they were.
Right.
And they said, we're very tired of it. We'd like to get out of this large city.
Right.
Which is Houston, and we would like to move in the country, but we don't know how to support ourselves. To make a long story short, I suggested to them that they apply for a house mother and house father position at Boys Country,
mm.
which is up in the country, and
right.
they could relate all the skills that they had used, not on their daily job, but in their life.
Right.
In other words, what's most important in our growth is our life skills.
Right, right. No, it's very true. I think I remember a lot of times, many times when I talked to you, because even though the job that I was doing was wonderful and everything else, and it seems to be, again, we all have our blinders on. We don't really, we always worry about yesterday, and of course we worry always about tomorrow, but we fail to see what we have. We have not taken inventory, and that relates us to the thing that I've learned from you in terms of in recipe number 9, annual rebirths, as part of the things that I wrote in annual rebirth, is that you had reminded me that luck is the intersection of faith and destiny. The stronger
right.
our faith is, the luckier we are. the positive energy we radiate out into the universe will always attract positive energy back to us. And I think you telling me about, you know, taking inventory and looking at, you know, hey, wait a minute now, you know, I have a lot to offer, and what do I contribute back to society? And that, in essence, actually is the totalness of ourself, the totality of our overall existence, which comes back to what you were talking about just now.
That's right, and it also carries over into our relationship with other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That you can't have a good relationship with other people until you have a good relationship with yourself.
Right, right.
And one of the things that I tell people, because when they come to me, they have three major things in their life. They have their relationship, whether it's a marriage or dating, their job, and their family, and that's how they define themselves. And and I tell them that first thing you do is become stress-free. It's not what happens to you that makes the stress. It's how you react to what happens to you. So if you have an argument with your mate or a disagreement, don't get all stressed out about it. Sit down and discuss it reasonably, and realize that your mate has a right to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who's right or wrong.
Okay? Right.
And once we figure that out, it removes the stress, and the stress is what keeps us from growing as a spiritual human being.
Very true. You know, that has helped me. What you just said over the years have really helped me tremendously to deal with, and the stress, right? Of course, you mentioned something about mate, but it's all about working also in every day that we encounter different people.
It's all your relationships, even somebody you stand next to in the elevator.
No, but it's true, because I did mention about something to the fact that whether we like it or not, whenever we run into people or people running into us, we always impact their life. Whether it's positive or negative, we always impact their life. Obviously, a nonverbal way, if it's just a visual, or and in instances where we have an opportunity to say something, then it becomes a verbal impact on their life. And what that first 2-3 seconds or whatever you want to call it, certainly will give them impression of us, positive or negative impression to them about us. And so if we are walking around stressed out, or something on our mind, then we don't even realize this, but, you know, that's what we put out there.
Right.
And likewise, they will react accordingly, whether they're staying away from you or they will be closer to you or whatever, and everything else, and how true that is. And I agree with that very, very much. And then again, it comes back to, you know, planning for the future with today's economy. And I know it, you know, every day, regardless whether the economy is great or not, planning for our future successes evolves around every day thinking about what we're doing today. And that brings to one of the things that that I wrote down in the book right here that I remember you telling me, is that in planning for future successes in all areas of our lives, always use history and old memories as a reference of where we were, where we had been, and what we had experienced. It is always a point of reference, but never a guide. It is used as a guide. If it's used as a guide, the future will never change. Rather, if it's a point of reference, the future will always be fresh and new and what we make it out to be. And I thought that was a really profound statement that you made, which is very interesting. Well, we are in control of the future.
Well, we are. And if you have a situation in your life, and I tell people there are no problems, they're just situations for us to grow with. And if you have a situation in your life and you get up every morning and you do exactly the same thing as you did the day before and you just complain about it, and this goes on for months, how do you expect it to change? It's not going to change if you don't change.
Right.
And we change ourselves. So the person that we need to be concerned with making a better person is just us. We need to have that faith in our higher being, whatever religion we are, it's all one higher being, and we need to focus on what can I do today to make me a better person. And
mm-hmm.
personally, I try every day to do one nice thing for someone else,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's calling someone who's more elderly than me. And as you know, I happen to be 77 now.
Sorry about that.
He told me I was 76, and I thank you. But
I was being nice.
I was 77 on December 5th. I'm still running a business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the board of directors of my homeowners association. And so there's always somebody that I can reach out there and make some kind of comment that will make it a better day for them. Even if it's the clerk in the grocery store, I can say, thank you, I appreciate your friendly service. I mean,
mm-hmm.
make it a point every day. And you made this statement a little while ago that really is the most profound thing that people can ever realize. Everyone you meet, everyone you touch or speak to, you have an impact on their life.
Mm-hmm.
So is your impact going to be positive or negative? And if you're negative, your impact is negative. If you're
That's
positive,
correct.
If you're positive, then your impact is positive.
That's correct. It's very, very true. These are the things that actually it takes a period of time to work within ourselves, because I know when we talked about this years ago, and then I realized that because I think you and I both agree, because we're in the business world and we are in the people business. Whatever commodity that we sell is just an item, but ultimately people buy from people, people talk to people, people relate to people, and we're in the people business. And so how we react and how people perceive us and read us is how successful it's actually there's a correlation there on how successful we're going to be. And
that's right.
And I appreciate you teaching me that in terms of I mean some of it, you know, the things that we encounter every day we take it for granted, but sometimes it's good to have someone that has blazed a trail ahead of us to point those things out to us and say, hey, do you realize this? Are you mindful of what you're doing? That really make a profound impression on someone. And I agree with that, because as I got promoted over the years and finally to the position of chief operating officer for my company, and being young and I have a lot of certainly men and women that are older than I am that works I like to say with me, you know, rather than for me, I did not look at it from a standpoint of like it's no big deal for me, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say, because I've always been young at heart, even to today. And so I rather have them respect Johnny rather than the label of being a COO, because that's not lasting. And what if I lose my job? What if I got fired or something? Then what, are they going to toilet paper my house or scratch my car
right.
up or something?
Right.
You know?
Because
so,
you're Johnny, not Mr. Tan with his office door shut.
Precisely.
See, many times when you walk into a business, you never see who runs it. They're in there and they keep their door shut. Well,
right.
My philosophy was that my door was always open, and
mm-hmm.
my employees call me by my first name. And
that's right.
And somebody asked me my title one day, and I said, well, I do a lot of things around here, including watering the plants. So, you know.
No, it's true. It's very true. Mm-hmm.
And how we live our life. And I tell people that if they live in a confused state, they'll
right.
be confused. And I'll take a person who has a car full of trash.
Right.
They have a car full of cans and fast food containers and their kids' toys and their car, and they'll say, well, let me clean off that seat. Well, that tells me right there that inside
mm-hmm.
their whole life is a confused mess. So
that's true.
To start your life, clean up around you.
Mm-hmm.
Make your home neat and functional
mm-hmm.
and something that's your sanctuary. I think
mm-hmm.
one of the first conversations you and I ever had
right.
I told you to create a place in your yard, make a garden, a meditation garden,
right,
and
right.
to have a fountain there and to go out there and sit quietly.
Right.
And I think I told you that back
right.
in the 80s.
Right. You know, and I did that because I have a wonderful koi pond, water garden, and everything else. And my mom, when she came and visited me, enjoyed that very, very much. And so it is a place of sort of a small getaway, you know, a private little sanctuary to just kind of being able to calm ourselves and everything else. But it's very, very true because I could be in a situation where, you know, I'm not a neat freak or anything by any chance, but I think I like things to be organized. And but if I see things all over the place, after a while, I get nervous from inside. My energy
right.
is off. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you want to, what your home needs to be is your sanctuary
mm-hmm.
and your church. I mean, to
mm-hmm.
me, and I have a garden like that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I go out there and I talk to God
mm-hmm.
because that's my, that, and it doesn't need to replace your church. Don't
right.
misunderstand me. But going to a spiritual place once a week is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
you need to have a spiritual place that's just yours,
mm-hmm.
even if it's a little section in your house where you have one of those little table fountains.
Mm-hmm.
Water, to me, is always one of God's purification
mm-hmm.
things for our soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you found that when your garden and meditated that situations that you had, answers came.
Right, very much so. And right now, currently, as you know, with my current business, the Reina Collection, I do custom water features. And I have water features all around in my showroom.
So, what happened here, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
What happened here is what I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You took your life skills
mm-hmm.
and you turned them into your work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because had
yeah.
you not had that built that little meditation garden,
yeah.
you never
yeah.
thought about fountains. And it's something that has had a meaning in your life, and water is actually healing to us.
Right.
You know, people, when they are sore, they take a hot bath. I mean, it's a gift that, one of the gifts of life
mm-hmm.
that we don't really appreciate unless we don't have any.
Right, right. No, but it's true. Well, a lot of times we just take it for granted because I think in the many conversations that I've had with you and all my other moms, and to be honest with you, because it's we're here and we're not here. We're listening and yet we're not listening because
That's
our
right.
mind is always adrift away and it's very difficult, to be honest with you, because I mean I know because I lived it myself, and writing the book has been a very humbling experience for me to sort of sit down and rekindle all those wonderful moments. I enjoyed the fact that when I visited you a long time back and I was able to see your beautiful garden, for example, and I understand that now is even more beautiful than ever.
Well, I just spent 3 weeks out there working on it, and I'm in excellent physical health, and I attribute one thing to that is I get out in the air and the sunshine, and I dig in the dirt and the earth. And
yeah.
as you know, I'm part Native American Indian, so
mm-hmm.
I do have this philosophy that we don't own this earth. It's ours for a little while, and we are to take care of it. But I planted when we had Ike, it tore my garden up, so I repaired it, and I planted a lot of rose bushes, and I
mm-hmm.
have
mm-hmm.
roses growing. I have a fountain. I have a turtle pond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place for me to go out there. When people walk in my yard, the first thing they always say to me, oh, it feels so good in here. And I
yeah.
say, well, sit down and rest.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I say, sit down and rest for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so they'll sit down, and I'll come in the house and leave them out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, sit out there as long as you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to your God, talk to your guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
Sit out there until you feel calm and stress-free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about, you know, what it is you want to talk about.
Yeah.
So it works out. They solve their own situations. And that's how we grow.
Right.
When we learn that we don't have to call 10 people and say, well, should I buy a yellow dress or a green dress for the wedding?
Right.
We answer that ourselves. And I remember you as a young manager asking me
mm-hmm.
What to say to your secretary when she wasn't doing something right.
Right, right.
You know, she
right.
was making a bunch of mistakes. And,
right.
And so we talked about that at length, and I said, well,
mm-hmm.
let her solve it herself. You know, ask her Mm-hmm. Why do you think this is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And let her talk.
Yeah.
So there are things that we don't, you're right when you said a while ago, we don't pay attention to what's around us.
Right.
Like
right.
the sunshine and water and the air and the dear people that we work with and are around. And so we have to do that. That's how we grow.
Well, we don't seem to appreciate the present, and this is something I'm be the first one to raise my hand and saying that, you know, I'm always looking for this the future thing. The future is far more important to me than the present, and I believe at one time even I asked you about this: what is my destiny? and you know, it's like, okay, wait a minute, you know, maybe it's all written somewhere, what is my destiny? And then one thing that I appreciate you answering me by saying, you know, well, that's something that I have to figure out myself, but, you know, you did say something which is really good, because one thing for sure is that we are all put here on earth to make a lasting impression on others. Whether we chose to make a positive or a negative impression is up to us. Nonetheless, we will always leave a personal impression on others. And so that thought came to mind. You know, it's like, oh, wow, wait a minute now. You know, you didn't exactly answer my question here, because I want to know. I've always been one of those guys that, and I wrote that in my book. I'm like the kind of guy that before I go to see the movie, I want to know what the end is. And is it going to affect me? No, not really. I'll enjoy the movie, but I do want to know what the outcome is. And so I take a lot of the excitement, the mystery of life out. But you have taught me how to live, you know, no, just kind of let it go. Enjoy it. Have a good time.
Right. Enjoy today. Life, it's the journey that we take. That is life. It's not the ending. We know how it's going to end. Okay. But it is the journey that we take that's important, and who we touch along the way and what we accomplish.
But that's important, you know, and I tell you why, because also whether in our professional life or in our personal life, I know in the book I wrote down about how it applies in our professional life, because one of the things we talk about planning for our future successes here is in recipe number 29, when I mentioned you in that segment of it in there with regards to the art of turning a job into a career. Because a lot of times, you know, that we always say, oh, my job this, my job that, and everything else. And then over the years, I've realized if we change our mindset from that, you know, hey, this is a career, then we have a different sort of a passion from inside that's driven in, that tells us, you know, like, wait a minute now, we start to take ownership, I guess. Let me put it this way. A job is something that you work for somebody. When you turn it into a career, all of a sudden you have a sense of you're a stakeholder. You have a sense of responsibility and a different kind of sense of responsibility. But the difference, what happens is that right now, in all actuality, based on what I remember what you told me, is that regardless whether you have a job or a career, that you have to pay attention to what you're doing. Because if you're not conscious in the present moment and not being committed to doing things right and doing the right thing every time, then we don't know who's always watching us. And you know, and that time will come when there is a break for us and we happen to get caught with, you know, for lack of a better term here, off guard.
Right.
That's, you know, and it works against us versus for us, you know. So perhaps you can, you know, elaborate a little bit more about that, but I think you know what I'm talking about, where, you know, we always have to be at our best, regardless whether it's a job or a career that we're doing.
That's correct. When you're on your job, you pay attention to the job, but you pay attention to the people around you. And by paying attention, I mean just being aware. You know, you don't intrude on their life, but you're very aware of what's happening. And the same thing carries over into your personal life. You know, you're aware. And of course, whenever the day comes and you have children, that's one of the main things you are, is aware. Are they thirsty? Are they hungry? And it carries over to life. And as you did a fantastic job of writing this book. And I will tell you
that
if you charged $100 for it, it wouldn't be enough. It's a good a good recipe for life. And life is why we're here. And it's common sense, and it's all, what's the saying in the service? Keep it simple, stupid. You know, keep life simple.
Right.
It's easy, and once you do this,
mm-hmm.
your life becomes stress-free.
Right.
And your ego becomes something you used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you no longer feel like you have to be. You don't feel like you have to be the first one at work and the last one to leave to impress the boss.
Right.
The boss knows what you're doing when you're there.
Right, right.
And if you do your job well, he'll notice you because
right.
the results will be there. Plus, the people that you're supervising,
yeah,
like the people you were supervising, a lot of them were minimum wage people when you're out in the field at your different locations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have to treat the guy who picks up the trash
mm-hmm.
the same way that you treat the president.
Right.
And
right.
they're human beings, and how you react to them tells mm-hmm. the person around you what kind of person you are.
Precisely. Precisely. No, it's very, very true, because I remember when I used to go out in the various restaurants that we have, and I'll go out there first thing in the morning and pick up trash and clean up in the restrooms and especially in the parking lot where people for some reason don't want to be visual and be seen out there, like I'm a garbage collector or something, and I would do that and it sort of fascinated even the customers. You say, oh, hey, you don't have to do that. You get one of your guys to do it. I said, no, it's no big deal. I mean, they have some other things they need to get done. I'm the least person that I have to worry about those kind of things, because I'm here to facilitate the operations. And then when it got busy, I was behind the counter in terms of bussing tables and cleaning up the dishes and running the dishwasher. And it's not a matter of what positions you're in or the things that you do, because if you do it with pride and show people that you're putting everything you have, then it sends a different signal, a positive energy out there among the employees that you have and everything else. And then not to mention, a lot of times also, you never know who's watching you from the customer side.
That's
of the
exactly
equation
right.
here. And so regardless of whatever job you're doing and everything else, that positive energy that you put out makes a big difference. I remember one time that we have a salesperson, we call them salesperson in our restaurants, where she was kind of down, preoccupied with all kinds of things, and the way she waits on people, the mannerism she comes across, she's there and she's not there. And guess what? That's reflective on her tips that she gets.
Absolutely.
And she don't even realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course then, she come turn around, she'll be, so to speak, will be complaining about, that so-and-so, this so-and-so, I gave them the best, service, this and this, and they, they seem to not appreciate it. And then when, in hindsight, when she's able to reflect back and say, wow, it's me, it's not them.
Yeah, because you have to treat people like they're a human being and they're
mm-hmm.
important to you. And see, the difference is that you worked with your people.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't work for you. You worked
right.
with them.
Right.
And that's the key to your whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you're in a volunteer group at church, you work with the people.
Yeah.
If you're in your Reina collection and customers come in, mm-hmm. you work with them to see what their needs are.
Right.
You
right.
don't say, well, you buy this. This is what you want.
Right.
That's a sure way for them to walk out.
Right. No, it's very true, because in right now with Reina Collection, for example, I mean, it is in the design, interior designing business and everything else. And I have customers, to be honest with you, that some of them want to spend additional money to do this, this, and this, and I would be the first one to tell them. I said, save the money. Let me recommend this. This is actually better. It's suited for you. So it's not about necessarily the money issue, but it's actually the long-lasting impression that you give someone, because then all of a sudden right now, we have actually established a wonderful relationship, professional relationship, because they trust what I say.
And then they become friends. Just
right.
like you mm-hmm. you and I were a professional relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it was my honor to be your adopted mother.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I did mother you, and I remember there were times when I actually chewed you out a little and said, Johnny, this is not.
I need to blurb that off the air now, you know. I'm just kidding.
No, that was 31, how many years ago?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's like I say, it's 1986.
It was only in relationship to the way that you would be dealing.
Right.
Say with a girl you were dating, and I would say, no, that's not what women appreciate, you know.
But
the point I'm making here is with age comes wisdom, and ours is the only country where wisdom is not particularly valued. You go in any other country, and wisdom is a valued thing. And it's something you accumulate with age and experience.
Right.
You don't have life's experience. You're not going to accumulate wisdom.
Right.
And look how far you've come
since
the first time I talked to you. And I am very proud of you. And
thank
I am
you.
Happy to know that I had a small part. But in essence, you're the one that did it because it was your life and you took charge of it and you accomplished what you wanted to accomplish.
I think I have tremendous amount of help from you and everyone else. And again, one of the things that actually I was on a talk show this past Sunday on Mama's Time Out, and I'm going to mention it too about her show. But it was interesting because she's a working mom, very successful. She's got like two or three different businesses. She's got two kids. She's a wife. And it's go, go, go. And but she ended up setting up this wonderful show called Mama's Time Out, and they are weekly broadcast on Sunday afternoon at 2:30. And but my point is that you want to do something positive for someone else. And one of the things that she mentioned, you know, like, oh, my gosh, I wish I have like what you have where you can call different moms. And I said, yeah, I said, I took it for granted, but when I started writing the book, then I realized, do you realize that when I want to talk about certain things, I call this mom? I want to talk about certain things, I call that mom, you know? And so it was wonderful because it seems like I got all my problems solved, you know? Because by being able to have all the different moms who are obviously good in certain skills, and so able to that I'm able to relate to and get the wonderful feedback and helping to shape my future which at that time actually, you know, when you're in it, you kind of like say it's you're living in it, so you take it for granted. You really don't have that sense of appreciation until you have a chance to kind of look back and reflect upon the past. And that's where it's very, very interesting. I mean, and not only this, and one of the things that we talk about also that Patty and I talk on her show, was her hour-long show, is that you as a child like me, I have to be open in terms of receiving that love and the motherly love, the tough love, the critical love, or whatever you want to call it. Because if I just want to hear the good stuff, that's not real.
No,
and then,
it's not.
Right. And then also, obviously, even though mothers have natural nurturing instincts, or women in general has natural nurturing instincts, more so amplified once you are a mother, but if you are not able to or wanting to give it out, then no one is wanting to receive it either. So it takes
That's
both
right.
sides. Yeah.
And you give it unconditional love.
And
there are no conditions on it, you know. You ask someone's opinion or a situation, and they give you feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is motivate you to solve your own situation.
Right, right.
Which happens 99% of the time.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's very, very true, because many a times talking to each and every one of you guys helped me solve my own problem without necessarily, because you're there to listen. I just need to have someone to sound off. And you know, just being able to resolve it on my own, and then, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you're working yourself out of your own problem, so to speak. And that was a wonderful experience, you know, over the years that I've encountered, and I truly appreciate that and the support you've given me and everything else. But you do make a positive difference, and I know you make a positive difference, and this is something that I do want to mention, because you've made a positive difference in is currently making a positive difference in your grandchildren's life, if I'm not mistaken. And that makes a big difference.
Well, I, of course, love all my grandchildren. I'm closest to the youngest one because her father passed away when she was 16. And so I became extremely close to her. And I promised my son that I would see her through college, and I did that. And there are things that you do in life because they're the proper things to do, like remembering someone's birthday, remembering your mother on Mother's Day, remembering your father on Father's Day. And they're just things that you do that you say, oh, I don't have time to really do that. But if you take the time to know that someone likes something and that's what you do, like your book would, by the way, it would be a wonderful gift for Mother's Day.
Thank you,
people.
Yes.
Because it's a compliment to every mother. It's not just us mothers that are in the book.
Right, right.
You know, we happen to be there in your life, but everyone in their life has a group of mothers. They have a group of fathers also.
Right, and they just don't realize it, too. It's funny because they don't realize it.
You just think, well, hey, I'm doing all this for myself, and in essence, you know, you're not.
No, so, when I started putting this whole thing together was to preserve recipes. And then in the course of trying to write everything down, and then I said, well, there's a disconnect here. It's sort of like being really choppy. I mean, guess who is the common denominator? Me. And at the risk of not being, and you know me over the years because I've never been someone, I'd rather always be behind the scenes orchestrating a lot of things. And and to even in the book itself, I mean, I'm orchestrating it because I'm honoring motherly love. It's not about me because I want it to be, I want to bring motherly love to center stage. It's beyond me. It's something that it survives beyond me. It's perpetual. Every generation will have its own take on motherly love, and that's what it's all about. And it's about those recipes for living. If it's every wonderful recipes for living, whether it's food recipes or not, it's timeless, it's ageless, and it survives through time. And so that was the intent. So when I ended up putting this thing together, it was like, wow, all of a sudden, you know, I know that I was spiritually driven in the sense that I finished this in 7 months, working at it every night. And there was a time that I kind of hit a stone wall and just say, okay, I need to take a break and then come back and revisit it later. But it flew, had this wonderful flow, and then having to reminisce back all the wonderful conversations that I've had with all of my moms, it was a wonderful experience because it sort of like helped me to re-energize again and realize that, wow, let me share this experience because there are people out there that can use the this. And I actually never realized this. Like when I was putting this book together, I had given this manuscript to a counselor. And when she read it, she said, you know, this book makes a wonderful parenting guide because every parent wants to be the best parent they can be. And what your book does is that it sort of it bridges the generation gaps, the young, old, and everything. It doesn't matter because it brings it back to the kitchen table. It brings it back to conversations. And that's something that we don't have nowadays because even though we live in the technology, communication world where everybody, you know, everything happens at the speed of light, but no one is listening when people are talking. Back in the old days, where you sit down at a kitchen table or at the in the kitchen, there are more meaningful and wonderful conversations. Stories of families are handed down through verbal communications. And that's something that's lacking. And so what I wanted to do is that inevitably I've created something that kind of bring people back and take a couple of steps back and say, hey, you know, this is something can be done. It's cool. Let's focus on the family.
Well, that's exactly true, and that's why it's a very good book. You know, you can equate it to turning on your computer and you get email messages and you read them. But what happens when the mailman comes and puts mail in your box? You get all excited to go get the mail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a totally different feeling than turning on the computer. And it's because it's a written word directly to you, but it's somebody brought it. Mm-hmm. And so if you send a thank you note in the mail in a card and people get it, really mm-hmm. brightens up their day.
That's
you
right.
say thank
That's
you
right.
on the web, it's just another email. And
right.
you're right that people don't communicate. And there are ways of communicating, you know, just
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just communicate as you go through each day. Don't mm-hmm. walk by somebody and not even look at them. You know?
Right, right.
And we
right.
lose touch with we lose touch with ourselves
mm-hmm.
if we lose touch with life.
Right. No, it's very true. And one thing that I've learned from you over the years was in the very beginning, I know I to this day, I still have my own personal stationery that I write little short notes to, thank you notes, but it's, you know, a note actually that I can send out to people. And you'd be surprised on how many people appreciate that.
No, I wouldn't, because I do it all the time, and I know that people appreciate it, because
mm-hmm.
when I place someone on a job, and I will always send them a little note like 3 months later and say, I
mm-hmm.
hope it's going well for you.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed working with you
mm-hmm.
and wishing you the best. And they'll call me and they'll say, well, how very nice to send me a card. So, and
yeah.
It's the fact that when I get up in the morning, I say this prayer, Father, help me
mm-hmm.
to find a job for the person who needs it most, but help me place them with a company who needs them the most.
Right.
That's what I do. And so they're not just a person I found a job for. They're somebody who's making a difference in that company, and that company's making a difference in their life.
Right, right. We're all connected, and we all can help one another if we are mindful. And that's one thing that I've learned from all of you know, my wonderful moms, and I think that makes a big difference in my life. And sure, are we going to be up the valley, down the valley in life? Definitely so. But the journey can be wonderful if we stay in the present moment, and we plan for the future, and the future is what we make it out to be, and never compare ourselves with the Joneses. I think that's the other thing also that we go through in life, is because we always compare ourselves with somebody else, and then we get disappointed and everything. But in finding ourselves from within, then we realize we have all the answers around us, and we have our strength, our weaknesses. The strengths, we show them up. The weaknesses, we go out and educate ourselves every day in overcoming them. And I think that sometimes that we fail to see that. We sort of like bypass all that and saying we want it now. And I'll be the first one to say that. I'm impatient from that perspective. But over the years, I've learned through talking with you about knowing that, you know, hey, in planning for my future, there is that growing season where you have to educate yourself, you have to plant the seeds, you have to nurture it, you have to water the plant, and eventually harvest you know, season will come. And the question is, are you ready when the harvest season comes?
That's
and
right.
So, and so I appreciate where you know what you have to say from that perspective.
Yes, I told somebody the other day that they said they were going to have a whole lot of tomatoes in their garden, and I said, well, then you need to be learning how to make tomato sauce.
That's true. That's true, other than wasting.
There was this big silence.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you didn't think about that when you planted that many tomato plants for two people, you know?
That's right.
They laughed, and they said, well, that's a good idea, and that's
yeah.
what our life is like.
Right,
that's,
right.
You can't just say, well, I'm just going to do this, and then, because it will change things. Everything
right.
you do, everything you do and say changes something.
You're right about that, because every action causes reaction, causes action causes reactions.
That's,
because
that's
it's
right.
We're all interconnected, because and then have you thought about your consequences?
Right.
And we're not talking about negative consequences, right? We're talking about positive consequences.
Right. If you do something positive, it causes a positive action.
Right, and then what
you know,
are you ready
no,
for
there,
it?
Mm-hmm. There's no way a negative action can cause a positive.
Precisely.
So what you do is you create a positive action,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and it creates a positive lifestyle.
Right.
And let's
right.
face it, people like to be around happy, positive people.
That's right. That's right. Very, very true. And I tell you one thing also, it makes life a whole lot easier. You're less stressed and everything else. So I do know where you're coming from. And we're drawing almost to a close here to this show. We have about 5 minutes roughly left. I do want to ask you this, if you already have not given us any, let me put it this way. Do you have additional recipe for living that you would like to share with us in the last closing minutes of the show?
I think that I would just tell people to get up in the morning with the idea
mm-hmm.
of enjoying life
mm-hmm.
and open their door and look out there. If it's raining, enjoy it. If the sun is shining, enjoy it. And do something that makes them happy, whether it's have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, or whatever. And get dressed and face the day with joy. And then when they start their day like that, the whole day is going to go stress-free.
Mm-hmm.
And then make their day when they come home that night that they're coming home to their sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Create, I guess my main thing that I would tell people is create a place in your house or in your yard that is your special place. Even if it's just a chair where you go quietly and sit without the television or without anybody,
mm-hmm.
you need to be alone with yourself
mm-hmm.
and with your higher being in your life or your guardian angels and let them talk to you. We all have them, and they can't talk to us if we don't listen. So I think the key is to enjoy life,
mm-hmm.
but listen.
Mm-hmm.
And do something nice for yourself every day as well as do something nice for somebody else.
Well, thank you very much. That was wonderful, sound advice. Therese, I thank you again for being on the show with me today. Your advice and your insight, as usual, like I told you, it's always made a profound impact in my life and got me to where I'm at today. And I certainly hope that it will get me to a place of wonders and I'm hoping to make a positive difference in lots of people's lives through my book. And I do appreciate you being online with me today. And as I close this show, I do want to thank you again for being there for me. And I appreciate that everything you've done for me. And I certainly will be talking to you soon. Certainly, before Mother's Day for sure, because I will be in Baton Rouge for Mother's Day. So thank you again, Therese, for joining me this morning and helping to make a positive difference in my life again and certainly to my listeners' life. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome, Johnny.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. For all you guys, that was Therese Rose, my Texan Earthly mom, joining us this morning. I hope you guys have enjoyed the broadcast with her. In the closing minutes of this show, I would like to quickly run down the schedule for the upcoming week. Next week, I'll have my Cajun mom joining us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Ginger White. She is a wonderful person, very delightful lady. Met her through ballroom dancing in Louisiana. And following week after that, I will be having my German mom, Diane Heise, whom I met in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, through ballroom dancing. She will be joining us on the 21st. And on the 28th of April, I will be having the Chief Executive Officer of Hope Cottage here in Texas, North Texas, in Dallas, Texas, to be joining me and talking about adoptions and the rewards of adopting children as from the perspective of being an adopted parent as well as from the perspective of being an adopted child. Again, that's on April the 28th with CEO of Hope Cottage. She'll be joining us for that full hour to talk about the benefits and rewards of adoption. And her name is Rebecca Utley. And also, this coming month, I'll be kicking off my media tour of the United States, and we're going to be starting out in Lubbock, Texas on May the 7th for a book signing at Barnes & Noble in Lubbock, Texas. And then I am on a talk show that morning on May the 7th with Tanya Moody on Good Morning Texas. And then on the 10th of May, Mother's Day itself, I'll be in Baton Rouge on WAFB this weekend news with Kelly Hennessy, with three of my moms joining me there. And then on the prior to that, on May the 2nd, I'll be at South Lake Barnes & Noble signing books. And then on May the 16th, I'll be at Barnes & Noble in Arlington. Thank you again for joining me this morning, and please join me next week on From My Mom's Kitchen Talk Radio. Goodbye.